it is going to be an interesting week, a week that we are calling Your Life Matters Week, where we're going to focus virtually everything that we do this week on the rising level, both actually and perception of violence, and not just in some neighborhoods, but we're talking about crime and violence in all parts of this city and county. Anytime somebody can get shot and killed at the parking lot across the street from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway two nights before the race, this is the problem of violence in our community is not just in the hood, quote unquote. It is everywhere. And so we're going to be focusing on that a little bit later in our second hour. The folks with the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department and the Department of Public Safety were very kind to share with us, at our request, a bunch of data about crime and violence in Indianapolis. A little bit later, later this evening, that data will be posted on our website at praiseindy.com so that everybody can kind of know what we're going to be talking about as we go through the week. Tomorrow, trauma surgeons, folks that have to put people back together again after they've been shot, they will be here with us because they're tired of it. It's taken away from them being on the golf course and stuff. So we'll hear from trauma surgeons and others. The police chief and the public safety director will be with us live for the full 2 hours on Thursday for a community conversation about crime. Young people will be here with us on Friday from the newest NAACP chapter in the state at Crispus Attucks High School has a youth chapter. We'll hear from them on Friday, not just what youth have to say about violence, but just on other things. And we've got some pastors that will be along in a minute. They're telling us the positive things they are doing to take a bite, not only a bite out of crime, but find positive directions for young people and young adults. And that is also what our United States Senator Joe Donnelly is doing. He's all over the place today. A little bit later, 4 o'clock, he's going to be over at the Krista Moore House wanting to hear from folks. 6:30, he will be at Forest Manor Multi-Service Center. But right here, the senator is here. Senator, welcome.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me with you.
Let me ask you, you're going to be talking with Hoosiers today at Krista Moore House and Forest Manor. What do you want to hear today?
I want to hear exactly what's on their mind and exactly the challenges they're facing. Look, you know, my grandparents lived in the inner city,
right.
And I remember visiting my grandmother and going to see her, and she was on like the 6th or 7th story, sitting out on the fire escape,
right.
and that was her whole world. And for her, what she looked forward every day to was a chance to be out on her little fire escape and getting some fresh air.
Right.
And I want every Hoosier, you know, I represent the richest Hoosier in the fanciest home, which is a wonderful thing.
Right.
And I represent the Hoosier with the least amount of financial benefits in their home. And both people and every Hoosier has a right to sit on their porch on a Friday night at 9 o'clock and sit there in peace and enjoy their neighborhood and not have to worry about their own safety. And that's what I want to try to help achieve.
We know,
and it shouldn't be a big goal. It should be a right that everybody has.
One of the things there are things the federal government cannot do about local crime because, is you know, with some exceptions, murder and robbery and all this kind of stuff are local crimes, not federal crimes. But there are some things, and I think a couple of frustrations that I hear from folks. One of them is the neighbors who are sitting out there on their porch. And they see a house across the street or down the street, and it's got more traffic than a fast food drive up. And folks know they're not serving food out of there. They're serving other stuff, and they get frustrated because they call the law enforcement, and law enforcement takes the information. But until somebody undercover goes in there, buys the stuff and do whatever, they get frustrated. And so I've always wondered, why can't our local police, can't we cut some kind of deal with the feds and borrow some undercover officers from Duluth who could come here, make the buys, the bad guys don't know what they look like, and then put these folks out of business?
Well,
is that something the feds could do?
We will try to help in any way we are allowed to. mm-hmm. and are willing to listen to all suggestions mm-hmm. and then find out we can do this, we can't do that, what we can do, what we can't do. One of the other things that, folks need to know, and we have a police force that's working very, very hard and a chief who's working very, very hard. Mm-hmm. Sheriff's office is working hard.
Right.
But one of the things, if somebody comes from another neighborhood, another county, mm-hmm. whatever, to try to get their stuff, pick mm-hmm. up their stuff, buy mm-hmm. their stuff,
right.
They need to know that they can go to jail too. Mm-hmm. And they need to know that they will go to jail. And they need to know that the person across the street who's sitting on the porch, who it's been their neighborhood for 20, 30, 40 years, they paid Amos, you know, like I do, yeah. every month you scrimp and save and send in your mortgage payment.
Right.
And a lot of these folks spend 30 years paying their mortgage and they look up and they go, you know, my neighborhood is not what it used to be. My house is right. worth less, even right. though I keep it up. That's not right. And we are all going to continue to try to get this squared away so that everybody feels safety and peace here.
Is what people are experiencing here in Indianapolis occurring in other cities in Indiana? I heard that Fort Wayne, which is far smaller than Indianapolis, they've had a spike in crime.
We have challenges in other parts of the state as well. Some cities have not had spikes,
mm-hmm.
but we have challenges in a lot of different places, and this is not just, I'm the U.S. Senator for the whole state.
Right.
I have a deep love for this city, Indianapolis, and I'm here with you today, but I'm working with the mayor of Gary, Karen mm-hmm. Freeman Wilson, on trying to solve some of the challenges they have,
mm-hmm.
and our other cities as well. And what I want to try and do is make sure that when people look up, they go, look, Indiana's got a handle on this.
One of the other things that I've heard from neighborhood groups is back in the day, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, whether it was in the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, the first Bush administration, even going back to Ronald Reagan, it was easier for localities to get federal crime prevention or other help grants. Now I'm told you almost need a PhD in writing proposals in order to get the grants, that they're much more competitive, that if you're a small, whether you're a small town or a grassroots group or a faith-based group, if you don't have a high-priced grant writer who can, write that grant that's thicker than the old phone books used to be, you're not getting the money, and those may be the groups that need it the most.
Well, it's challenging, and that's what we're there for. Mm-hmm. We have people on our team who do nothing but help structure your grant proposal. We are not by law allowed to write it for
right.
you,
right.
but we can in effect say you might want to put this in, you might want to put that in, you mm-hmm. might want to talk about this, you might want to talk about that. And so I'm the hired help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to help every neighborhood group. We're working with some of the neighborhood groups around here in Indianapolis
right.
on some grants to try to develop a strategy for their community to beat this crime situation. And so we are working as a grant partner mm-hmm. with community after community around here. And look, obviously there are not the funds are tighter.
Right.
And you look and you go, one of the damaging things of that terrible financial challenge we had mm-hmm. 4 years ago, when we had to run deficits in effect just to keep the pump primed, to keep things going, we've got to pay the interest on that. And the money that's used to pay interest could all be being used to help fight this crime.
Is there one of the other things that other cities are doing, and we seem to be slow at doing that in Indianapolis, and knowing, because a lot of people call, and if you want, I got a question quickly for the senator, 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. People remember the jobs programs from back in the day. I got folks that will call and remember CETA or Partners 2000 and a bunch of programs who are great programs with federal money, but those dollars, they're gone, been gone. But there are other cities that have gotten the private sector involved, whether, the business community, the foundation community, and everybody got in the room and said, we need to create some job opportunities for youth and young adults. We don't seem to be doing that here in Indianapolis. Is that something where a United States senator can sit down with the Chamber of Commerce and the business community and say, guys, I'd love to bring you a bushel full of money from Washington, but wouldn't you rather me knock down the deficit and the interest, and we're doing that? Why can't you guys come together and put some strategies on the table?
I'll do anything I can to help. I know Kevin Briniger at the Indiana State Chamber. Mm-hmm. Nothing makes our businesses more successful or better than having good people, good young people, training people. And so there's got to be a match that fits.
Let me go to Raymond right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm wondering, Senator, is there a way, because I live in Butler, Tarkington, and I've lived there all my life, and it really has gone down quite a bit as far as not the atmosphere, but the citizenship and the care for the neighborhoods. Is there neighborhood by neighborhood or city by city that you have statistics on what's random, what's related, how old they are, what time it took place, the reason for the crime, so that we can see, like, what percentage are we as the citizen to be likely for a random crime versus a related, drug-related, and what definite things are you going to do that people might have a dead-end mentality, like they don't, in school they didn't do very well, so now how can they succeed?
Right.
Great question.
You know, there's a couple of questions wrapped up within the one question, and the Butler Tarkington area is so beautiful, has been such an extraordinary neighborhood for so long. What we can do, like I was saying to Amos, I'm the hired help. And so if there are things statistics wise that there's a list of a neighborhood community group there says, hey, we're looking for information on this, 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 and this, we can try to help put it together for them, be a coordinator for the IMPD, the county, state and federal, and say, look, here's the statistics that we know of. And in terms of programs that are out there, we have burn grants, which have helped to provide additional police on the ground before. Another offshoot of the burn grants is, and that's one of the neighborhoods in the community here that's working on it, is a program that they put best practices together in effect. You know, here's one that's working in Erie, Pennsylvania. Here's one that's working in Buffalo. And try to figure out best practices. So we're in this for the long haul, and to try to help in any way we can.
239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's news with Senator Donnelly, as we're getting the next couple of callers for you. The situation with the VA. Yesterday, the president gave these traditional remarks at Arlington Cemetery for Memorial Day. And what was significant was he, you know, as politicians do, acknowledged all the VIPs that were there and did not acknowledge the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, which sounds like he in the big doghouse. How bad is this crisis becoming, and do we need new leadership at the top?
We are due to get the report this week as to what happened in Phoenix. And I've always been one who said, you know what? Let's know what actually happened before we start throwing bricks at each other so we can find out. I can tell you that last week in Indiana, I called the head of the northern region, which is the Fort Wayne Hospital, Denise Dietzen. And, you know, the message I had for all of them, and also Tim Mattis, who's the head of the Rattabush here, that area, I said, look, you know, if there's a challenge, let us know so we can fix it. If we don't know, we can't fix it. But they said, look, things are moving along well. We are here in Indiana. Yeah. We're meeting our schedules. We're meeting our times. We're meeting all of those things. And so and we try to stay on this religiously because it is so important to everyone in our state, everyone in our country. Right. So we are on this constantly to make sure that the
treatment types of things that we were hearing about in Arizona, your staff and you were not hearing about it here in Indiana.
No, we are working like a dog to make sure if we saw it, we could find it. We are not hearing it here in Indiana. But, you know, the thing with General Shinseki is this, and I'll just say this very quickly. He's an American hero. And whatever happens in this situation doesn't change that at all. But this is so much bigger than just General Shinseki or the person who's in charge there. We have, coming home, all the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans now. Amos, the next 10 years looks like a climb up a mountain in terms of the demand that we're going to have for veteran services. So this is just the very, very beginning of an incredible series of challenges we have to deliver what we've promised and must deliver.
Let me go to Michael right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good afternoon, Amos, and good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon.
I Thank you. I just have a question, and it just seems like this is overlooked. Initially, it was brought up in the Obama campaign's first run for president. Why has there been no effort, based upon all the data that's out there, to repeal NAFTA? I know for political reasons they wanted to get rid of Obamacare, but if you get rid of NAFTA and you put Americans back to work, it fixes crime, and it's a ripple effect in a positive way. Why has there been any studies? I know there's been studies, but why has there never been any debate to get America back to work? And I'll listen to the answer.
It's a great question,
sure.
Michael. Thank you.
I was against NAFTA from the start and called for its repeal. We have not repealed it, but what we've been able to do is we've started to rebuild America's manufacturing base and America's industrial base. Lower natural gas prices have helped extraordinarily. Mm-hmm. What we really need to do, we have jobs out here in Indiana, but the skills level of what's required now is not like the old days. Mm-hmm. When they go in, people have to be able to run computer design cutters and all of these things. So the most important thing we can do for folks who are past high school age but can go back and go to Ivy Tech at night or go
is the retraining thing.
Is the retraining. If we can get them retrained and they can show a skill, we can get them a job.
Senator Donnelly will be at Krista Moore House at 4 o'clock today. Y'all know where that is, 502 North Tremont. Then at 6:30, he'll be over at Forest Manor, 5603. Got sixes and threes in it. East 38th Street between Emerson and Arlington. And he wants to hear from you. Ordinary folks, men and women of law enforcement, faith-based, community, street folk. Want to hear from you because you know, what can we do? And that's kind of what we'd be doing all week on the program. And Your Life Matters Week. Senator, always good to see you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
When we come back, some ministers that are doing some things in the community this summer to help take a bite out of crime and understand that your life matters. A special edition of Afternoons with Amos all week. Your Life Matters Week after these.